Some would say that the Bible has little to say about the working of the human mind, but the Word of God provides a treasure trove of minute detail about the nature of our thoughts, the thought process, and our resulting believing. Our levels of thought, cognition, mindset, is clearly seen in the Koine Greek language used in the New Testament. There are over 50 distinct Greek words used to describe the working of the mind. In the King James Version, we see these words translated as mind, minded, mindful, minding, minds, heart, hearts, think, thought, thoughts, new, newest, new, know, knowledge, discern, discerner, and many other English words that blur the precise meaning of the Greek. For instance, there are at least 14 distinct different Greek words with individual meanings translated as the single English word mind. God does not use words randomly. Each word in the Bible was chosen with great specificity for the exact connotation that it carries. 14 distinctly different aspects of the mind are being described, yet in English we only get one word, mind. This results in great confusion and ignorance of what God has to say about the working of our mind. What God made abundantly clear, mankind has muddled in deceitful translation. Those of us who have been thoroughly churched can recall month-long, mind-numbing series on the building of the temple or some organization's values and doctrines, but we never hear a detailed study of the working of the mind from a biblical basis. Do you wonder why? The understanding of God's desire for us to renew our mind with the rightly divided Word of God negates all of the religious fear, guilt, and control of the denominations. Far from being set free, our churching has led us further into bondage and fear. We can renew our minds only to the extent that we understand the rightly divided Word of God. To ignore God's directive to us as His children to renew our mind is to reject the blessings promised to us. A life lived with a mind unrenewed is a life of misery. There is none more miserable than a Christian who lives in fear and guilt. If they find enjoyment in something, they immediately feel guilty. Then they feel guilty for feeling guilty because they are, after all, supposed to be blessed. Then they go about to make others around them feel guilty so they are not alone in their guilt. We as a people have been taught that the Bible holds no real answers beyond religious fear. Preach on, brothers. It's no wonder that people turn to the tabloids and Oprah for answers instead of renewing our mind as we are directed. Everything worth knowing, I'll say that again, everything worth knowing about the working of our mind and how to be transformed by renewing our mind is freely provided in the Bible. We simply have to choose to do as God asks us, rightly divide the word of truth. Last night, as I was getting ready to share this morning, I wanted to share on the words involved in the biblical words that are involved in the renewed mind. Well, in the past, I've basically brought it down to four words, and this little chart here has four Greek words on it. One is nous, which refers to the organ, the actual brain, or the whole mind. Phrenes means thoughts, like single thoughts, little fleeting thoughts. Phrenao means thought strings, or the thought process, the logical process. And then phronema, which is the mindset, or our habitual mind response. It's kind of the way we're programmed, and when something happens, that's the way we respond. This chart is about 19 years old now, and I've been using it for all these years, but I wanted to reconfirm my research to make sure that it was correct, because I don't want to teach something that's not right. So in starting to look through this, I got out the actual book of Strong's, and I started going down the list of the word mind, minded, mindful, minding, minds, heart, hearts, thoughts, new, newest, know, known, and knowledge. And I wanted to find out all the Greek words that are used for those words, because they all have to do with our thought process, and they are all descriptive. And I was very surprised when I came up with 57 different Greek words. As I started, so I made a list of them. And after I made a list of them, then I went to the computer and I started looking at the definitions of these Strong's numbers, looking at some of the verses where they're used. As I was doing that, I discovered that that word of 57 words was by no means complete. My guess is there's over 70 after seeing, as I'm looking at these other ones. But it's truly amazing that each one of these different words has a very distinct meaning. Mind, as I said earlier, there's 14 different words that are translated mind. And in English, all we get is mind. But in the Greek, it is talking about the mind, but it's talking about a distinct aspect. And it's not by accident that God would choose a different word in a different place because he wanted a specific thought to be communicated. I thought maybe this morning we could just kind of bounce through a few verses just to get a feel for some of these words. We're not going to do all 57 on one list. But... just a few. Well, why don't we just start at the top of my list? 1 Corinthians 2:14. Here's a familiar verse. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That word know is gnosko, to know, to perceive. That's an interesting word, because if you, it's used 224 times in the New Testament. It's used in many different ways, and it's parts of figures of speech. And so you, as we know, that you look up a word and you find out the real definition. It means to perceive. It means to perceive. Okay, so in this verse, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And so it's talking here about something that is not a natural knowledge, but it's spiritual knowledge. It's talking about revelation here, okay? I mean, this is one of the words that is oftentimes used in relation to the manifestations and into revelation and receiving from God. And so this is a very important word when it comes to the mind. And I just want to contrast it to another word that is very similar, and we can go to Colossians 1:6 for that. I'll start in 5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is into all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. That word knew, this is a word that means to recognize fully. Just not, yeah, I knew about that, but it means to really fully recognize. Here's another interesting word. Shows up in the New Testament 669 times. The primary meaning is to see. And I thought, well, how does that, what's that got to do with our thought process? Well, it means to see in the mind's eye. It isn't actually, it's a different word than it's blepo, to actually see. I mean, that involves our mind, but that's the actual act of looking across the room and seeing something. That's blepo. This is a whole different word. This means to see in one's mind's eye and to know. Now, this really is one that is very closely involved with revelation, because many times revelation comes and we see it in our mind's eye. Think about the book of Revelation and all of the things that John saw. Mm-hmm. Well, those things weren't happening around him. Mm-hmm. Those were all things that he saw in his mind's eye. In Revelation 13:11, I'm not going to go there, it uses the word beheld, and he beheld. And what that means is he saw in his mind's eye. Mm-hmm. And so it's like a vision.
Yeah.
Okay? And, I mean, it's used a lot in the New Testament. Because isn't it true almost everything that we understand and know of God comes as a picture in our mind's eye. God spoke in mind pictures. I mean, that's what all those figures of speech are about. It's mind pictures that are universal to all human beings. And so no matter what your language is, if you get that mind picture, you understand. And this is the word that describes that experience.
What is that word?
That word is number 1492. And I did not write down the number.
Okay.
I mean the name, the word. Here's another interesting word. It's only used seven times in the New Testament, but it's number 4907, Ephesians chapter 4. I'm sorry, chapter 3. No wonder I didn't find it. Chapter 3, verse 4. I'll start in verse 3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And the word we're looking for there is the knowledge. Knowledge. That is a Greek word that means a mental putting together. And so his knowledge of the mystery was a result of taking pieces and putting them together. Yeah. So, see, it's a real description of the process that went on in his mind. Revelation 17, verse 13. I'll start in 12. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. That word mind, that is the Strong's number 1106, and the definition of that word is cognition.
Wow.
Yeah, how's that for specificity?
Wow.
Cognition. And then back to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. I'll start in 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Mind there is Dianoia 1271, which means deep thought. So you see, each one of these words have a little different connotation as to what part of our mind and the process that's actually going on inside of our mind. I mean, those two verses I read, I mean, it's all about how we used to think. It's all about how we think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the focus as believers. We rightly divide the word so that we can renew our mind. The battle is in our mind. You know, and when it says renew in chapter 12, verse 2 of Romans, where it talks about the renewing of the mind, you know, the word there is nous. It's the organ. It's talking about the whole thing. And the renewing in that place, in that verse, is actually means to renovate. And if you think about this, let's say you're going to renovate your kitchen. Well, you don't get rid of your kitchen. You don't get rid of the noose, the organ. You know, you don't get rid of your brain. What you do is you go in there and you strip out the cabinets, take the sheetrock off the walls, take the floor up and the ceiling down, but you still have the kitchen, and then you put all new stuff in. And that's what Ephesians talks about in chapter 4, is the putting on and putting off.
Mm-hmm.
You take out the old, you put in the new.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still the same brain. And that's the whole point. In fact, that is what God has told us to do. He's told us to rightly divide his word,
right,
so that we fully understand it,
right,
and to put it on.
Right.
And when we put it on, we put off the old fleshly mind, and that's what the renewed mind is all about. And in essence, that's what the Christian life is. If we choose to do that, then we leave behind all the misery and crap that the old mind has for us,
mm-hmm.
that we've learned
mm-hmm.
all these years renewing the mind. Rip out those old cabinets.
Mm-hmm.
Throw the dishes away.
Mm-hmm.
Put in new ones. Godly cabinet and godly dishes. And the blessings will just flow through our lives. And that's really what the renewed mind is all about.